And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? Hope you're all having a great week, great night, great day. Whenever y'all are tuning in, whether it's live or on demand, this is RBLR Bucks. I am Carter Brantley, one of your co-hosts, joined today by Mr. Zach Blaine. How are you doing tonight, Zach?
I am doing pretty good, brother. Trying not to die from these allergies and bronchitis and stuff. But you know what? We're here and we're one day closer to football season, man. I can't be mad about it at all. How about you?
That's right. I'm doing pretty well. And I know we're talking about your two favorite, well, at least one of your favorite positions today for the draft.
Favorite side of the ball for sure.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We are doing a continuation of our draft coverage this week. Today we are doing interior linebackers and cornerbacks. But before we get to all that, if it's your first time here and you like what you hear, if you're like, wow, I like the tone of these guys' voice, well, then what the heck is wrong with you? We both have annoying voices. No, I'm just kidding. But hit that like and subscribe button if you want to stay tuned for more Bucks coverage. We're going to keep talking about the draft all the way up to it. We're pretty excited. It's one of my favorite times of year, frankly, because baseball season is going on and draft season is going on. So it's a good time. It's not quite football season, but it's pretty cool. But we'll start with interior linebackers because, that's kind of we're going to save the best for last for Mr. Zach Blaine, because I know he's excited to talk some corners. So we'll make him wait for it a little bit, but we'll start with our round one guys. And I wanted to start off with a guy that Zach Blaine, I know you're not a huge fan of. And frankly, I wasn't, I'm not frothing at the mouth. I'm not, pounding the table for this guy. This is not my guy. CJ Allen out of Georgia, super young, 21. And he had an excellent 40 time, has some really good athletic traits, but he's unfortunately a good bit undersized for the linebacker position. Very good run defender, and does a lot of little things really well, but unfortunately doesn't necessarily produce the takeaways that you would like to see. Not necessarily the ball hawk that's getting interceptions or forcing fumbles or anything like that. But fortunately he does have enough athletic ability to where coverage his weakness, even though he's actually pretty solid in coverage too, but that's an area of improvement, and he's athletic enough to think that can be somewhere where he grows. Zach Blaine, give me something on CJ Allen. Why is it necessarily not your favorite pick, let's say, if the Bucks were to pick him?
I think you nailed on the head. He's undersized.
Sure. Yeah.
And didn't he play outside linebacker a lot too?
Yeah, he's moved around the chessboard.
Moved around a lot, which means, I mean, we kind of talked about it on the O-line last week, not being or being versatile in positions makes it to where you're not necessarily great at any of them. You're just kind of good at some of them.
Sure.
That's my biggest takeaway, is that I don't think that he's a true middle linebacker, not inside linebacker one on a starting caliber like play or a starting caliber player. I think he's more of a rotational piece in the league, and I don't know if that's worth a first-round pick to me.
That's succinctly put, my friend. Yeah, I don't necessarily even disagree, frankly. This guy is he kind of fits where the Bucks are drafting, and he's an inside linebacker, so that's kind of why. The Ohio State fellas are, frankly, just they're not going to be there. I would be surprised if either one of them is there by the time the Bucks are picking. It'd be awesome if either one of them are there.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be super cool. I think the Bucks would jump at that opportunity, and rightfully so. But unfortunately, they're picking 15, so it's kind of the middle of the round. And I don't necessarily blame you for feeling that way, because a first round pick is a bold choice for an off ball linebacker in some respects. Anyways, to begin with, just because of I know you hear about positional value, and it kind of makes me roll my eyes sometimes, because it's kind of it's making it too simplistic. Rather, it's a very complicated thing and nuanced thing, and just labeling positional value, like, you kind of, it's one of those corporate speak words that kind of loses all meaning because it's been spoken so much. But it's basically trying to get at, interior linebackers would have less of an impact than even an average edge rusher, just because pass rushers have such a massive impact. It's the same for quarterbacks versus every other position in football. It's kind of trying to get at that. But regardless, all that aside, if you're going to draft an inside linebacker in round one, it better be like a Jack Campbell-esque Fred Warner type of player who's really good. And Zach, I'm with you. I don't think CJ Allen is quite at that level, but You never know. You know, we could both be eaten.
I will say your positional value, and like, I know obviously that's not your opinion, so I'm not, that's not like a conversation to you or like a dig at you, but that's so dumb to hear that, because those are the guys that have the green dots on their helmet. Those are the
right,
guys,
yeah,
quarterback of your defense. And you're sure, like, ah, you're not as valuable as our edge rusher, who their one responsibility is to run fast at the line or at the running back or at the quarterback. Like,
right.
I'll never understand it. I get they make a bigger impact or a splashier impact, but you go through a whole season with Servasio Dennis as your second best linebacker and tell me that inside linebacker is not important. And we'll see how you feel after that season.
Yeah, no, it's a valid point. I do think that we've kind of, the pendulum has kind of swung, you know, it has to be more in the middle. I think the pendulum has swung a little bit too far away from valuing certain positions, like an interior linebacker, frankly. And so, yeah, it's interesting. I find it a fascinating conversation just because it's a draft conversation, and there's really no draft conversation that I don't find interesting, except for maybe when ESPN does those weird, like, and this guy had a single month, you know, they do the tragic story to try to play. And it's like, come on, guys, like, this guy just got drafted. Can we just celebrate that and not focus on his tragic backstory? But regardless, any draft conversation is an interesting one for me. So I found it, and it's illuminating. It's fun. It's cool to talk about. But all that, we didn't even get to your guy, your round one interior linebacker. And you have a very exciting one. I'm really excited to talk about this guy. So share it with us.
Yeah, I mean, I gave this away a month and a half ago when we said we were going to be doing draft shows. I think I claimed him on an episode before we even started doing these. Jacob Rodriguez out of Texas Tech. A lot of people have him mocked as a second round guy. But I do think that he's going to be I do think he's going to be a first round talent. If not at the end, I could see some teams reaching for him. I think he's got the potential to be the best linebacker out of the entire draft. Give me one second.
No, you're good. Yeah, Jacob Rodriguez, man, he's an interesting player for sure. He shot up a lot of draft boards. I remember at first people were having him slotted in round three, which I found really interesting. And then he's just kind of climb as people continue to watch his tape, as folks looked at his combine results, because he's super athletic. Like, he's a really good player. So
he ran a really good 40, has, I believe, played safety in high school, if I'm not mistaken. So he's got the coverage skills, 13 forced fumbles in the last 3 years, and then 7 last season, which led all FBS. Just like led that Texas Tech defense that was really, really good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot to be said for him as a captain, and that's not even getting into his explosive athletic ability, which is kind of, I think the combine opened a lot of people's eyes, because most folks saw him as sort of like I don't want to say gimmicky, because that reduces how good he was, but folks saw him as more of like a really sparky guy, like a guy who's going to lead your team. And he's more than that. Like, he is that, but he's also a very athletic player who also is incredibly intelligent. He plays with a lot of smarts. And I mean, we can really say that with a lot of these interior linebackers. Like, these guys play this position for a reason. It's because they're, like Zach said, they're the quarterbacks of these defenses. So that could apply to a lot of these guys, but it especially applies to Jacob Rodriguez. He's really excellent in coverage, which is probably his most impressive trait, if you will. Like, as a coverage linebacker, he's very good.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys where it's like, the only downside that I see is that people say he should be a second rounder and not a first rounder. Like, he gets pushed around a little bit on run blocking, or when someone comes to run block, if they're a bigger person than him, he does get pushed around a little bit. But like, at the end of the day, I don't need my inside linebacker to necessarily be a huge dude who can eat up run blocks. Like, that's why I have Vita Vea.
Right.
You know, so I'm not his ability. I don't see a downside in him going, I'll say going 15. I wouldn't be mad if we took him at 15. I know that a lot of people don't see that. I don't understand how you can watch that guy play and not have him higher than a second round guy.
Man, bold take. I I do think he could slip into the first round. I don't know if I'll go as bold to say that he'll go at 15, but that is, hey, you know, we'll see how it goes. Jason Light has made some unconventional draft decisions, shall we say. And this is not nearly as unconventional as some of the other decisions that he's made. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, Jacob Rodriguez definitely one of the RBLR favorites of this draft, I think. I don't know that any of us would be too upset to see him in a Bucs uniform, because then it turns what was a weakness last year, which was linebacker coverage. They got absolutely cooked over the middle. They've really gotten absolutely cooked over the middle for the past two seasons. It's been a rough go of it. And it would turn that into a strength. Like, him and Alex Anzalone would be one of the better coverage linebacker duos in football, frankly. And it would really ease a lot of the pressure off of this defense from having to worry about, well, if a guy goes over the middle, it's pretty much an automatic completion, which was sort of how it felt at times last year. So, Jacob Rodriguez, man, he would be a really interesting one. So, Zach, I'll shoot it right back at you. Who's your round two and round three interior linebacker?
Round two, round three, I've got kind of almost the polar opposite. I don't want to say polar opposite, but Jake Golday out of Cincinnati. 6'4", 239 pounds. Like, he's just an athletic freak who is more of a run defender. That's why I say the exact opposite of – okay, Hazel, please, for a second. You're good. That's okay. Sorry.
Well, Hazel heard you talking about Jake Golday, and she got
– yeah, right? She's like, I got to get in on this. He's very, very good at run defense. He's kind of in pass coverage. Like, I'd say mediocre at best. And pass rush needs a little work. He's a little bit he lacks elusiveness on the pass rush. So I think it's going to be, if we take him, he's going to be more of a project than anything.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is he does have that rare combination of size and enough athleticism to where you're not like, oh, this guy's just kind of slow out there. Coming in, like you said, at 6'4", and he's about 240 in that range. So there's room there to maybe fill out a little bit too. He's kind of an exciting player, especially in those middle rounds. Like you said, a little bit lackluster in coverage, but I think pairing him next to Alex Anzalone would be really interesting, because it would be a nice combination of a guy who's really tremendous in run defense. He'll really fill it up, and he's a great tackler as well. Like you said, and I think it would be a really interesting choice. Especially just if the Bucs wanted to go with a pass rusher or another position of need in round one, and maybe Jacob Rodriguez isn't there in round two. I like Jake Golday a lot, but not as much as I like Anthony Hill. He is my guy for this draft, for this position, and for this draft class. More of a practical version of my guy. I've got a sentimental my guy in for my day three guy, but anyways, we'll get to him as well. But Anthony Hill out of Texas, he is an excellent tackler. He had 8 forced fumbles in the SEC. Definitely more well-balanced than C.J. Allen. C.J. Allen is one of the better run defenders in this class, but his lack of coverage ability is severe, whereas Anthony Hill, it's a little bit more in the middle. Plus, he's going to be a round three guy. He provides a lot more value than C.J. Allen would at pick 15, which is why I'm more leaning towards Anthony Hill versus C.J. Allen. The main issue with him is just he gets a little bit improvisational, shall we say. He can be a little bit of a freelancer out there in coverage, doesn't necessarily stick to his assignments, and that also plays into his overly aggressive nature. Sometimes he can bite on stuff, you know, he can be kind of faked out a little bit. So that's something to work on for him. But I really like Anthony Hill. I think he would be a really nice fit next to Alex Anzalone, a really well-balanced linebacker that can really improve across the board, because he's also a pretty darn good athlete as well. So Anthony Hill, he's my guy overall for this draft, and my round two or round three guy.
Yeah, I'm all for Anthony Hill. If we don't get Jacob Rodriguez, I think Anthony Hill's the next best option in that round two, round three area. I think he could – he needs a little more development than Jacob Rodriguez, in my opinion.
Sure, of course.
But outside of the development, I think that he's going to be super, super talented. He's got all the required, prerequisites, I guess I'll call it, to be a really good inside linebacker.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I'm with you. He's got Yeah, I mean, he's got enough size to where it's not a concern, but he's an incredible athlete. Just very similar to Jacob Rodriguez in some aspects, just because of that athletic ability, but maybe a bit bigger, but unfortunately not nearly as good in coverage as Jacob Rodriguez. So definitely a lot more refinement needed for sure. But yeah, Anthony Hill is my guy overall for this draft and my guy for the round two, round three. I'll get into my sentimental guy for interior linebacker. He's a day three pick. If that might be an undrafted free agent at this point, frankly, it's Harold Perkins Jr. out of LSU. You know how I feel about my LSU guys. From a practicality standpoint, I get it. Like he's a jack of all trades, master of none type of linebacker, in that he's pretty good as a pass rusher, but not nearly as good as he once was. He tore his ACL, and afterwards he has just not been the same, unfortunately. And he's not a great tackler, and he's not a great run defender. Showed some promise in coverage, but the bet on him is that he can rebound to his 2022 years, where he was like an elite pass rusher and can kind of do a little bit of everything, like get after it, you know, from the interior linebacker spot, as well as if you want to move him around a little bit, because he's athletic enough to, if he figures out how to be a good coverage linebacker, he could be like a really big nickel guy. If he really, that's like super high end on the positive outcome spectrum. But yeah, unfortunately the likelihood is that he's probably not going to be very good at the NFL level, but I'm hopeful. You know, I'm more of an optimist than a pessimist sometimes. And with Harold Perkins Jr., I'm trying to be an optimist here, but luckily he would be like a round seven guy, like round six, round seven. So it wouldn't be a high cost. And even if the Bucs drafted a linebacker earlier in the draft, he's the type of guy, he could probably be a special teamer. He's really athletic. So Harold Perkins Jr., he's my sentimental guy, even though I know practicality speaking, probably not going to turn out very well. But who's your day three guy, Mr. Bladen?
We've seen crazier. My day three guy is Keyshawn Elliott out of Arizona State. 6'2", 231. I kind of went high end on all these guys, like, because it's such an important position for us. So while he's a day three pick, I think he's going to be like the first round of day three kind of a pick if he isn't already gone by day three. This guy trains like a pro already. He's kind of got that good football character that GMs talk about, especially Tampa's GM. He's a good tackler, has played special teams, and I think would be a stud athletically on special teams. His big things again, coverage is kind of lacking, which is the thing for a lot of the later round linebacker guys that I've seen. Not too many great coverage linebackers after Jacob Rodriguez, which is why I think taking him first round is kind of a more realistic than not, because we need that so bad. But I would love to get this guy mostly as a special teams guy and someone who we can train and develop behind Anzalone, and hell, I'd take him and Jacob Rodriguez and have them work together and be the 1-2 punch of the future.
Yeah. Keyshawn Elliott, definitely an interesting name. He's also a quarterback in high school. I read a little bit about him as well in preparation. And I thought that was kind of interesting. But definitely, yeah, I'm definitely very excited about him. If he's in like the fifth or sixth round, I think the Bucs have to pull the trigger. Cause yeah, he's in some mocks, they've got him going as early as four, which I think is a bit high, but yeah, he's definitely got some potential. And like you said, the special teams ability, especially as a day three guy, is super important. It's interesting. We'll see if Keyshawn Elliott manages to last a little bit into day three so that the Bucs could pick him up, because he would be a good one for sure. Definitely like his brain as he was in high school quarterback. He's kind of got that in the back of his mind, you know.
You can read. It almost feels like if you've played quarterback, you can read a quarterback better, or you recognize designs or plays better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. And he's got that going for him for sure. But if you want to have something going for your wardrobe, if you were looking at what you've got clothing wise and thinking, man, this isn't cutting it, just like the interior linebacker room for the Bucs currently isn't cutting it, maybe you're looking to upgrade, and you can head to shop.rblrsports.com to do just that. We'll give you a promo code as well. That's Cannons, Cannons. Type that in and get 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. It's a way to support the show. All right. So now, as promised, Mr. Zach Blaine's favorite position to talk about, cornerback. We're going to be breaking those down. some draft options for the Bucks in round one, round two, and three, and then day three guys as well. I'll kick us off with another LSU guy, but this guy's actually, he's actually probably one of the better corners in this draft class. Mansoor Delaney out of LSU. He's a Virginia Tech guy. He transferred there for 2025, and he just kind of exploded. Had probably one of the more productive seasons out of anyone in FBS last year at the cornerback position. 31.3 passer rating when targeted. Only 14 catches for 165 yards allowed when targeted over 11 games. I mean, just some really, really impressive stuff at a at an SEC school. You know, he was not playing, you know, this is not the Sun Belt. You know, we'll talk about some Sun Belt guys, but that was not him. And he's not the biggest guy, but he's not tiny either. He's kind of in the middle in terms of athleticism as well. He's not necessarily a trait guy. He's more of a production guy, but that production was at such a high level. That's why a lot of teams kind of have him going top 10. Like, I'd be a little bit surprised if he lasts 15, frankly, but Mansoor Delaney, he's my round one guy for the Bucks. Mr. Blaine, what are your thoughts on Delaney? Are you a little bit more pessimistic about, because it is one season of insane production at a high level school, but why wasn't he doing it before? Is that kind of your thought process, or maybe you're as excited about him as I am?
Yeah, I think my biggest concern is the size. I think he's only like 5'11", isn't he?
Yeah, he's a little bit on the shorter
side. He's on the smaller side. He's not tiny, don't get me wrong. He's not Jacob Parrish, and Jacob Parrish is doing really, really well. So, like, I can't even necessarily dog on it. But we, you know, Todd Bowles likes his long arm corners. And, I mean, I'm a huge proponent in 6 foot or taller at the corner position. Not that it's a requirement, but typically those are the guys that are going to shut down your 50-50 balls. And so I don't hate him. I think he's a very, very good player, and I think he can play really good football. I just don't think he makes it to 15. That was the biggest takeaway for me. I think he's going to be very, very good at the NFL level, just not my cup of tea, if that makes sense.
No, I get you. Yeah, and like you said, he's unlikely the last to pick 15, so all this conversation is unfortunately likely for naught, frankly. Who's your round one guy? Because I know there's a guy that's been kind of talked about out of Tennessee that has some injury concerns, but I think he's your guy. So go for it.
He is indeed my guy. And let's not just say Tennessee, because he started his career at Oregon State.
Hey, yes. There you go.
It took me 7 positions to get an Oregon State guy, and he's not even really an Oregon State guy. But he did play one season at Oregon State, so we're counting it, damn it. Jermod McCoy, Tennessee corner, 6'1", 188 pounds, ran like a 4.35 40 at his pro day. This guy would be a top 5 pick had he not injured himself. He tore his ACL, which is such a it's not as serious of an injury as it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And most people come back from it pretty healthy now. But this guy between 23 and 24 had 16 pass defense, 6 interceptions, is a guy who can play both man and zone coverage. Like, he struggles in the switch off of zone. So I'd like to see him as more of a man guy, which kind of worries me a little bit in Tampa, because, you know, Todd Bowles loves his zones. But I also think that's something that he could pick up on and learn really quick, because he is so good. But yeah, take out the torn ACL and he is a top 5 pick all day. Like, he is talented when he's playing.
Yeah, it really is a tough thing, because like you said, I think coming into this season, he absolutely is a lot better than his draft stock will probably end up being. And it is almost exclusively because of that injury, unfortunately. And it sucks. And obviously, hopefully he's, like you said, it's not unrealistic for ACLs. And it's silly to speculate on whether, because teams will tell. I think what we saw last year with Will Johnson, which was really unfortunate out of Michigan, is that teams will tell you how serious an injury is. Because if it's serious enough, then they'll let him slide, because if he's a good player, which Jermod McCoy certainly is, Will Johnson was last year, they'll pick him, you know, but if the injury concern is there, then unfortunately he'll slide a little bit. And so we'll see. He could be a guy that could go earlier than a lot of people are saying. If a team's willing to, if a team looks at his medicals and says, hey, we're good because he's that good. But unfortunately, if the medicals are enough of a red flag, he could be sliding quite a bit, which would really stink because, like you said, this guy.
I would legitimately, if he comes back healthy, which again, he was cleared to play the last two or three games of Tennessee's season last year.
Right, right.
By team doctors. He elected not to, which I respect because in two games, you're not making that much of a difference. And he knew that he wasn't football ready. Right. So I don't understand why a team doctor would clear somebody who is not healthy, especially a guy who I believe had, I believe he was a senior. So it would have been his last year. But I think I've seen these like things going around lately that, oh, he's got a degenerative knee issue. His knee's not even messed up. It's his ACL. So, like, respectfully, I think that's a crazy, unless something is not being seen that, like, to the public. Like, I don't think he's got knee issues. I think as a torn ACL, it happens. It's happened to multiple NFL stars who have come back and performed perfectly fine afterwards. I don't see him falling out of the first round. If he does, somebody is getting a steal because I genuinely think he's going to be one of the top two or three corners in the league in 5 years.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. It'll be an interesting interesting storyline to monitor, unfortunately, kind of similar to the Will Johnson stuff last year. Hopefully it doesn't end up like that because Will Johnson didn't have a great rookie season and he slid out of the first round, which was pretty pretty shocking, frankly.
Yeah,
it was kind of a whoa, like that's not great. So we'll see. But yeah, it's always tough with the medical stuff because like you said, neither of us are doctors. You know what I mean? Like I don't know enough to really say. So we'll see. I'm hopeful though. Like you said, he's a great player. So we'll see. But moving on to round two, round three, guys, because I think my guy in round two and round three is one of my favorite players in this draft class, even though I don't think he'll end up a buck for a lot of the reasons that Zach Blaine said about Mansoor Delaney, which you're absolutely right. D'Angelo Pons out of Indiana. He is my guy. He's just small. He's just so, so small. Like he's 5'9", barely 180 pounds. Like he's tiny, but he was so good for Indiana last year. Was one of Kurt Cignetti's guys on a national championship team. He's tremendous in zone. Like if he and he's got one of the fastest 40-yard dash times as a corner. He's got an insane vertical as well. It speaks to how explosive he is as an athlete, which can sort of make up for that lack of size. And he played on the outside. Like he was not a slot guy. He was not lining up just in a nickel spot or anything like that. He was an outside corner, bona fide, in the Big Ten, which is really impressive stuff. He was going against, obviously, the best competition in football. Like they won the national championship for a reason. And he was a big reason why. So D'Angelo Pons, my guy out of Indiana, but the huge caveat is that he's 5'9 and 180 pounds, which, you know, a bit of a hesitation. And it's one of the reasons, like if he was 6 foot or 6 foot one and a little bit heavier, he'd be a round one guy. So the whole idea here is, you know, maybe the Bucks get him in round two or round three because of his lack of size and he turns into a quality outside corner. But Zach Blaine, give me something on D'Angelo Pons. I know you're probably going to shoot him down because of the size.
No, you know, believe it or not, I'm actually a huge fan of D'Angelo Pons. I'm going to shoot him down again, not because of my preferences. Like, yeah, I like corners to be 6 foot or taller, but I think watching his film, he looks bigger than 5'9".
Yeah.
Or he plays, let me rephrase that. He looks 5'9 on the field. You can't miss it. Like, he looks small, but he plays bigger than 5'9, which sure. I think is a big reason why Parrish had so much success. Like, he's 5'9, if I'm not mistaken, and or 5'9 or 5'10, and
that size, yeah.
Played really, really well. I think it's all about how you play and how you use your body at that size. And I do think that Pons does a really, really good job at that. And you said it best. He was a dog on a really good defense. Like, he was one of the top two players on that defense. I've got nothing bad to say about it. If we got him in second or third round, I don't think he ever becomes an outside corner for us. But I could see him playing nickel, slot, or maybe going back to safety.
Yeah, he's, I don't know.
great zone guy.
Yeah, he is so good in zone. I think that sort of what made me put him down here, even though I like him, and I know that the Bucks probably won't like him for all those reasons that we said earlier, kind of about Mansoor Delaney, frankly. I think his ability in zone might slightly offset that a little bit. Hopefully, that's my hope. But like you said, they certainly have a type. They certainly have a preference. And yeah, Pons doesn't necessarily check the boxes that the Bucks like to check at the cornerback spot, for better or for worse. Who's your round two or round three guy for this spot?
My round two guy is round two, round three. I think he's probably a round two guy. Could see him falling around three, though. Chris Johnson, San Diego State, 6 foot, 193 pounds. Really, really good footwork. Can play in multiple schemes. He's just honestly, like, everything you want in a corner, he kind of does. His tackling is not the best, but that doesn't necessarily worry me. As a corner, I don't need you to be the best tackler. I need you to be better in coverage than tackling. And big body receivers have kind of been an issue on him. So it's – you kind of take what you can take with him, and, like, he's athletic. He's a decent 50-50 ball defender. He will attack a running back. If it's a bigger running back than him, he's going for a ride. Usually he's more of a body tackler. Like, you're not going to see him lay a big hit on anybody. It's just not going to happen. So I really like him. I think I didn't get to see a lot of him because he plays for San Diego State. And up until this year, they were not in the Pac-12. So I couldn't – I didn't talk very much of him, if that makes sense. So
yeah, not a big Mountain West Conference kind of guy.
Not lately. I do think he's going to be really, really good, though. Like, he impresses me – or he impressed me at the Combine. And everything that he did, he looked fluid. Like, he looked really, really good.
Plus, Chris Johnson, that's a heck of a name to have in the NFL.
Great name. Hall of Fame name almost.
Indeed, indeed. It's CJ2K, you know, that's the guy. So I liked Chris Johnson as well. I thought he was a really interesting choice for the Bucks in this kind of range. But your day three guy is someone that I was kind of excited to read about too. So who you got for us?
I had a hard time here because I really like both of the Washington corners. Ephesius Prysock and Takario Davis. Both above 6'2", like beasts. But I went with Takario Davis, 6'4", 194 pounds. Is possibly one of the best short yardage corners, but also impossible to throw over on a deep ball. He's just an inconsistent tackler and holds a lot. So it's like he's a specimen of a human, but he's got a lot to work on in coverage. And unfortunately, as a corner, that should be the last thing you need to work on is coverage. Like, we can build up everything else, but coverage needs to be your bread and butter. But at 6'4", it's worth a risk in day three to bring him in and maybe convert him to – you could convert him to safety. You could play him at corner. Like, if he's willing to learn, and you know how Tampa loves their Washington guys.
That's so true.
If you're willing to learn, I think that is a guy who could be very, very good in 2 to 3 years. Maybe not great in 2 to 3 years, but very, very good in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, he's got a lot of the tools that you can't really teach, right? Like, he's got the height. He's got the arm length, and he's got the 40-yard dash time, which is impressive. I mean, he stands out because of his size, frankly. But also that short route coverage is really, really, really good, like you said. Having that kind of size is also pretty fun, because he can keep up with some of the more physical wide receivers as well as the quicker ones. But his shiftiness is a bit concerning, and like you said, his tackling can be a bit inconsistent as well. Takario Davis, definitely got to watch for the Bucks, because, man, they just love Washington guys, like you said.
Every year, I would be shocked if we come out of any draft and we don't have a Washington guy on this team.
Well, here's the thing. I wonder if it's a Caleb DeBoer thing, like not even necessarily like a Washington thing. And now that he's Alabama, maybe
we get some Alabama guys.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe. Right. After this season. But Takario Davis, definitely an interesting name to monitor for the Bucks in day three for the cornerback spot. I really like, for my day three guy, Josh Moten. He is like, I love how different our approaches were, because I went with low value guys with some of these.
Yeah, I went high. Yeah,
which is great. Like, that's the whole purpose of this. Like,
it really shows you that I value those positions so much more than other people. Like, those are my favorite positions in football. Like, the defensive side of the ball in general is my favorite. So
yeah,
I did go high because I do think that they're all positions of need was my big.
No, 100%. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see them address the cornerback position in as early as round four with a guy like Dakario Davis Dakario Davis. I don't know why I called him Dakario, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see that kind of thing happen. But I tried to also include some guys that we could see maybe undrafted free agent. And this is one of those guys that kind of falls into that category. Josh Moten out of Southern Miss. My parents also went to Southern Mississippi, so that kind of plays into it too. But he was very productive. Like, he is, I was talking about it with Mansoor Delaney a little bit, although Mansoor Delaney at least has enough traits. Josh Moten, his athletic traits, not there. Kind of across the board, unfortunately. Not really super sized or anything. Like, he's not super tall, not a lot of length, also not super fast or shifty or strong. So you're probably listening to me talk about this guy like, wow, this guy sucks. Like, why is he one of your guys? But he was really good in coverage at Southern Miss, really equally good in man versus and zone. There's not really a whole lot of drop off either way. But he was just really outstanding, especially in 2024. He was a four-star recruit, went from Marshall to Southern Mississippi. He followed a head coach there. So, you know, that's kind of his pluses, but his minuses are pretty massive and are enough to probably make him fall at least around seven, if not out of the draft entirely. But he's, these smaller school guys, they're wide-eyed. You know, they didn't go to a smaller school because they were super highly recruited or anything. So he's going to have, I'd assume, a chip on his shoulder and be perfectly willing to work and be a practice squad guy or a special teams guy. So, Josh Moten out of Southern Miss, he's going to be kind of an interesting guy for me to monitor, at least. I don't know if he'll end up in a Bucs uniform or if he'll end up even getting drafted. Like, we could be talking about him for the Spring Football League next year. But for now, I'm trying to optimistically say that he could be a fun undrafted free agent target for the Bucs. So any closing thoughts? We're nearing the end of our episode. Any closing thoughts on the cornerback or the interior linebacker position, Mr. Blaine?
I will say, I think cornerback is probably one of the deepest positions in this draft. There's a lot of high upside guys in later rounds. Linebacker, I think we need to address early and address it hard because it is such an important need. And while I think that there's targets that we like in the later rounds, I would rather have Jacob Rodriguez, Anthony Hill, Arvel Reese, like that group. I think that once you get past Anthony Hill, I even my second round guy, like, I'm not super high on him. I think Anthony Hill, Jacob Rodriguez, Sonny Styles, and Arvel Reese are the top four, and it's not even close after the top four. So it's scary because if you don't snag one of those guys, and that's why I think there is the potential to reach for one of them, because if you don't snag one of those guys, like, you're not getting a guy that's NFL ready or is going to be decent in coverage unless they surprise the hell out of us, which I'm open to it. Like, if it happens, cool, I'm all for it. But I think that those four are your NFL ready, like, day one could start. Anthony Hill needs a little more work, but I still think he could be a serviceable starter. Like, I think he'd be better than Servassier Dennis.
Right.
It's just after those four, like, you're essentially drafting four special teams, in my humble opinion. I'm not an expert by any means. So
for sure.
It's
I do like a few other guys that we didn't touch on. I wanted to give a shout out to our other wonderful co-host who couldn't join us tonight, Musab Tariq. He included Deontay Lawson, who I think could be pretty good. Like, he's not, I agree, not at the at that level, but if they drafted him, I wouldn't be like, oh god, what? You know, it's not a waste of a
pick. I mean, I probably would. I've said it from the beginning, if we don't draft Jacob Rodriguez, this offseason's a failure.
Oh, yeah, man, that's a harsh standard to keep. I don't know if they'll.
Yeah, and I stand by it.
Even if they draft Anthony Hill or one of the Ohio State fellows, it's still a fail.
Okay. No. Hold on. Anthony Hill, I like him. He's not Jacob Rodriguez. You get Arvel Reese or Sonny Styles over Jacob Rodriguez, I'll change my mind and I'll give you a pass. Anyone, if we pass on Jacob Rodriguez once, We got issues. So we pass on him twice. I hate this team. I hate Jason Light. It's over. Yikes. I will be off the podcast, the host of the Saints podcast next.
Man, a lot of pressure resting on this draft for not ball only for court,
Jason.
The ball is in your court. Mr. Light, if you are listening, please support the podcast and buy some shirts. But your decisions directly influence Mr. Zach Blaine's fandom and support of the Bucks. So, and it all hinges on Jacob Rodriguez or one of the Ohio State guys. So,
yep, we'll bring see. In Ohio State Jacob Rodriguez and re-sign Baker, and we'll call, you know, all is forgiven, brother. All is forgiven.
Man, all right, I'm going to hold you to that. If they do all of that, then you cannot say a single negative thing about Jason Light.
I will praise the Graham Barton pick. I will defend him till I die on drafting Roberto Aguayo. Like, whatever you need, I will do.
There you go. He will become one of Jason Light's bravest soldiers.
Yeah.
Well, you heard it here first. That's a lot to live up to for the Bucks. Depending on your perspective, I guess. But we'll keep y'all updated. We'll keep y'all in touch. The draft is right around the corner, man. I think it's coming up a lot sooner than I realized, than I think a lot of folks realize. We'll be talking next week, and then it'll be the draft. Like, we're going to have an episode, and then the draft is going to be right there. So should be a lot of fun. I'm hopeful that we can get a draft show in. That would be a lot of fun, a little bit of a live draft broadcast. That would be kind of fun. We've done that in years past, and it's been a blast, so I would love to do that again. Get some guests on, you know, have some fun stuff. And drop some comments, folks. Like, if y'all are tuning in and you're saying, oh, man, like, Zach Blaine, what are you thinking? Like, Jacob Rodriguez, he sucks, which – I don't know if there are going to be too many people out there that have that opinion, but hey, you know, it's the internet. There's a vast, unlimited amount of takes out there, some awful, some great. So we'll see, but please leave us those comments. We'll talk about them. We'll show them on screen if they're good enough. But we'll be back next week regardless. Really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thank you to my wonderful co-host, Mr. Zach Blaine, and to our super producer, Eureka Wheeler. We'll see y'all next week, but until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.